You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
What? I am so blessed to be here today.
Well, that was Dave not setting a pause in the system because things got so wild.
That's my voice from
Yeah, that
the
is
past.
Your voice, and that's your historical.
What happened? Interesting. Okay.
Well, for people that are listening that are production focused and like details like that, in our computer system, we can put a pause in when we do live after the opener.
Oh.
So it doesn't play the embedded program. But because I was busy whirling around trying to shift our priorities for the program today, I forgot to do that.
Okay.
So with all that in mind, what I'm going to do shift out. So that's going to be gone. It just went. So now I can turn that pot back up and be ready for the break. Anyway, if you are working on being a radio producer, that's about 0.007 CEUs that you can use for your educational purposes. Anyway, this is David Francoeur. Delighted to be here with you and producing this wonderful program, The Front Line. I'm going to introduce my two co-hosts, lovely, God-fearing people that are with me almost all the time and certainly praying for me even when they're not. And then we're going to introduce our guest for today. So I must go first to the venerable Ed Skiba. Wait a minute. Ed, I'm sure.
Just because I'm 9 days older than dirt doesn't mean you have to call me venerable.
Yeah, if Ed graduated from high school a year before Jesus ascended. So, you know, he's been around for a while. Okay. Anyway.
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Another beautiful South Florida morning.
Hallelujah, it certainly is.
I've always been here for the last 2 weeks.
I know. Well, everybody's got stuff going on in their life, you know.
Life kind of overtakes you sometimes.
It does. Make sure that mic's in front of your mouth when you're talking.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're... you got me turned up on the pot because I can't hear me. No, I can't.
Yeah, I've got you turned up. Whoa.
I think he was on mute because it wasn't being heard, so I just turned it up.
My goodness.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, Ed, we could finally hear you.
Now,
yes.
I can't hear me now. No, I'm just teasing.
You're not going to be missing much.
I love you. Oh, I love you too.
Shots fired.
That's called brotherly love.
We're having fun here.
We are?
We are. Oh, okay.
Is it time to have fun yet?
You haven't got the memo yet?
No. Why don't you just go to the Rose alone?
I will, yes. I sure will. Anyway, and I do love you, my brother. You've been a great source of support and encouragement over the years for me. And two, a younger person who kind of falls under that heading as well, Ann Limhoko. Good to see you.
I'd like to be the younger person. Good morning. It's good to be back. I've been gone also, I believe, 2 weeks. So yeah, I didn't realize that, Ed, you were also gone the same time I was gone.
Weeks, yeah.
I had to, I don't know why I was gone. I know last week it's because I'm a substitute teacher and it was our last week of classes. So I wanted to be there for the kids. And then the week before, I don't remember. But it's good to be back. I'm very happy to be back on the radio.
It is great. And, you know, everybody has a life. You know, that's one of the first things that you learn. And I work here, so I pretty much have to be here when I'm told. But Ann and Ed are volunteers, and they loved. I'm glad to have them with us. They're great co-hosts. But from time to time, they have commitments that keep them away. And so Ann and Ed have both had those commitments.
I've got 7 lives left.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Don't waste them. I think that's. I know you haven't been doing that up till this point.
No, I stay busy.
You do. So let me tell you what we're going to be doing today. The original plan A is not going to work out because our guest had car trouble and so couldn't be here. We're going to reschedule with Bishop Yuma Miller at the Port Salerno Church of God. And met him some weeks ago and here we did a Wednesday live program and tremendous testimony. What God's having him do at the Port Salerno Church of God is awesome. Definitely critical for these days, and so wanted to hear from him about that, and we will. However, we know God provides, and a dear friend of ours in this ministry, Charles Jones, is here. And Charles, good morning, brother.
Good morning. Good morning. It's always great to be here.
And if you recognize his voice, you may the name may not have sparked your memory, but Charles, for several weeks, we had the Dad Up program here,
right,
aired every Monday through Friday, most of the time live, sometimes it was recorded. But the whole thesis of Dad Up is to inspire fathers to get involved with their children and to and to speak to the fathers about their godly role in
yes.
the family and to encourage that. And also, not to forget the rest of the family, Dad Up also reaches out and embraces the whole family, moms and kids too, and has aspects of ministry for them. And Seamus Gordon, who is the pastor, the man who is the programmer mm-hmm. and got us all going, still has a two-minute program that airs randomly every week, fresh program, about dads and their life and their ministry. And if you haven't heard that, just if you'll take one day and listen for 24 hours, you'll hear one.
Yes.
But
yes.
The computer picks the random. But it's such an important area. So when we found out at the last minute that Bishop Miller could not be here, but Charles is a member of that congregation and is a supportive member, supportive of the bishop, and so was going to be here anyway mm-hmm. to lend his commentary and support. But here's how God provides, is we're going to talk about the importance of dads in the family, the godly ministry of dads, and we're going to dig down deep and go as broad as we can in this hour. So thank you, Charles, for being willing to join us in that.
Yeah, I'm always willing to be here. Sometimes I just come pop in to bring some little treats or anything,
aww.
And you grab me and put me on the radio. It's
yeah,
like,
really?
Okay, I guess I have to always be ready.
Well, but
be ready in season.
There you go.
In season.
There you go.
But I have found that, and you're a faithful man of God, Charles, and that for those of I sort of try to include myself in that, but God gets us ready even if we don't know
oh, yes.
we are.
Oh, yes.
Just like today, you came in not expecting to be the primary interviewee, but you know, you have a lot of history in what we're going to be talking about.
Yes.
Your heart is in it.
Yes, yes, it is.
Your dedication is in it. So let's just begin. Talk about, well, if you would, Charles, from your perspective, talk about Dad Up, the ministry. Talk about the focal point of Dad Up, what it does, what it seeks to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say to our listeners, because some of you are saying, I missed the Dad Up program. I'm hearing you talk
yeah.
about this. We were hoping and praying, and at this point it is hope and prayer, but that there will be a return of the Dad Up ministry program here, the larger one, not the two-minute, that continues, mm-hmm. but the live or recorded, but half an hour, who knows maybe what God's going to do, to continue to present the very important aspects of this ministry.
Yes, we're working on it, Pastor Seamus and the other guys, Bill, Mike, and Bob. It was awesome the way we all came together because I honestly had never met them before we started the show, and it was awesome how we just meshed together. We all have the same mentality, and the Dad Up Radio Show came from Pastor Seamus's his organization, his nonprofit called the Father Child Connection. And the Dad Up Radio Show is a father friendly program that encourages fathers to strengthen their relationship with their children, with their family, and also to encourage future fathers to have a strong relationship mm-hmm. with their families and with their children, because it is biblical, because the father, the man, mm-hmm. is ordained by God to be the spiritual
amen.
Leader
mm-hmm.
in the home. And
amen.
too often the dad is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not bashing fathers. We're encouraging
mm-hmm.
fathers. And we're encouraging also the mothers of these children to allow the fathers to be part of the children's lives. Because sometimes we'll hear, I don't need a man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That may very well be true, but your child needs a father figure. Mm. So yes. We're trying to soften that stance as far as some women are concerned.
That's a great, great purpose and yes. mission. Wow. Mm-hmm.
There's part of that, though, Charles, that is being uttered today by people on the far left. And mm-hmm. that so politically, you know, that's an egregious issue of the destruction of the nuclear family.
Of the family unit, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah. yeah.
Yes. And you know, that is the enemy's mm-hmm. tactic.
Absolutely.
If you can't destroy the head, mm-hmm. you want it to destroy the support system.
Amen.
And ultimately, yeah. it will get to the head and destroy or compromise the head.
That's becoming very evident in the UK.
Yes.
Yes.
In the UK, you can't even describe someone as your husband or your wife. It's your partner.
Oh, wow.
And whether they're married or not, it's my partner.
And wow.
It's become part of their culture now.
It's because the liberal policies have infiltrated Absolutely. London.
Absolutely.
And that has resulted, it's because yeah. it was as a result of a lot of undocumented going there and taking mm-hmm. over. And a lot of people mm-hmm. have immigrated legally to the United States to get right. away from that. Dangerous rhetoric, which is not godly.
No.
And that's the enemy. We see the enemy all over
yeah.
that.
Oh, yes.
To get rid of the father, who was supposed to be the head of the household. And like he said, God ordained mm-hmm. leader of the family. Mm-hmm. The enemy's got a foothold in the family.
And that same thing is trying to infiltrate here into our society.
Yes, yes it is.
And we see it a
and
lot
it's working.
Here.
It's working.
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately.
You look at so many socialist people claiming to be socialists, democratic socialists yeah. running for office, winning office, so that at the level of lawmaking, you have those kind of influences working against, mm-hmm. you know, the biblical foundations of America. Mm-hmm. And that's of concern. It should be of concern to anybody who's a believer, certainly.
Absolutely. Yes.
And even if you're not a believer, if you recognize that the fabric, the moral fabric of our nation has always held us together into a cohesive whole, a nation a supportive mm-hmm. A nation of the families. Really, it's a nation built around mm-hmm. the family.
Yes.
And then to see in the last 20, 30 years, slowly but surely, that the family has come and went into destruct, and you have fatherless, you have, and I will say this too, because there's some single moms out there, and I support you, I love you.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so impressed
Absolutely.
With what you're doing
yes,
as a single mom.
Yes.
Don't hear this as a criticism against you.
No. Mm-hmm.
But I will say it's a criticism against our culture mm-hmm. that it has disallowed that it's God's model for the family. When God's stuff is in place, it works.
Yes.
Because God is perfect. His plan is perfect.
We've lost the hunger for righteousness.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
what's happened to this nation.
Yes, yes. And you know, it's discouraging because this country was built
yes.
on biblical principles.
Yes,
yes.
And it's very discouraging how the biblical principles are slowly being removed.
Eroded.
Yes. Eroded.
Yes.
Now, I have hope. I want to say at this point,
oh, yeah.
I hope we all have hope in this room. Mm-hmm. And so if you're tracking along with us, but you're caught in your despair, let me tell you. There's a truth that's in the Bible. You can find it throughout the Word of God, Old and New Testament, and that is this. When God starts something, he will see it through.
Yes.
God's plan, for instance, of creation is going to run according to God's plan, whether you like it or not, until the end.
Right.
Until the end, when God says, now it's done, we're over. Mm-hmm. And so when God forms a plan for a people, they will continue. Even if it looks like from the outside that there's challenges to their life, to their ministry, to the health and well-being of that nation. And there are times when you'd wonder. I'm thinking today in America, many people, if you look too much at the news, and you're saying, my gosh, America's so circling the drain. Yeah, from that standpoint, it looks that way. And it feels that way, but I'll tell you that you've got to get on God's plan. Mm-hmm. You've got to get on. The best way to see what God is doing is get on your knees. There's a great story a friend of mine told me. He was on a tour. He and his wife, or wherever they were, they had a chance to tour a garment factory. Now, why? I wouldn't go to one, but no offense to garment making. But as they were going through, the tour guide brought them into where the labels were being actually embroidered that go on the back of the shirt or the dress or whatever. And they're looking at this thing, and my friend said, you know, that's great, but I can't really make anything out on the label. And he said, well, it's because in order to see, understand what the label looks like, you have to get on your knees and look up at the machinery.
Wow. Okay.
And he said from that point on,
interesting.
So it was a great teaching for anything. When you want to know something, get on your knees and look up. Yes. So that's what we need to be doing today. Yes. I didn't mean to digress this too far.
Get on your knees and fight like a man.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever.
That's good.
So getting back to, some people I think are asking the question, well, how important are dads? You know, and so Charles, you know, why should we even be talking about getting dads back into the family?
Well, you know, I can give a personal testimony to that. My wife right now, this July, we will be married for 19 years. And sometimes a blended family is tough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's a godly woman. And I was impressed that once we started courting, I guess you can still use that term.
Yeah.
She prayed that God would allow her to step backwards because for so long she was a single mother. And she knew that God ordained the man to be the head of the household.
That's wisdom.
And she was, once she realized that I could be that man, she prayed for God to allow her to help her step back because she had a 10-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, and it's the same with a woman and a young lady. You can teach your son to be a good human being, but you can't teach him to be a good man because you're not a man. Just like I couldn't teach your daughter to be a good woman. I can teach her to be a good human being, but I couldn't teach her to be a good woman. That's where you come. And I can be an example to her because most women, when they go looking for a spouse, they use their dad as their example, whether it's good or bad. So that's where godly good men must come into play because too often, and I have a history of working in law enforcement. I worked with the Martin County Sheriff's Office in the corrections department. And I saw so many young ladies that were led astray by quote unquote bad men or men with bad intentions. And I saw so many men that just didn't want to step into their role as the leader of the household. And it's really prevalent. And at the time, I've been out of it for a while, but at the time, most of these men were between the ages of 20 and 25. That's the structure for our future.
Yeah.
And it was discouraging to see that. So in that instance, yes, dads are very important.
How many of those 20 to 25-year-old men, males, they're not men, they're just males.
Yeah.
How many of them were the product of a single parent household?
And therein lies the problem, too. The last the last time I worked, I was in the state of New Jersey, and I had 30 men in my unit. 24 of them were 24 years old or younger.
Wow, young.
And 20 of them came from single mother homes. And it was just discouraging because there is so much talent that is in our correction system as far as any vocation that's out there. I even knew one young man that in most of the jails and prisons, you have a law library. He went into the law library and was able to represent himself. His trial. They always have a lawyer there, but the judge actually told him, young man, I am so impressed with how you represented yourself. And I'm so sorry that you went on this path because I would have loved for you to have practiced law in my courtroom. That was impressive.
Yeah.
But His father, this particular guy, his father died early. So as he grew up through those formative years of early teenage years, he kind of got astray. Mm-hmm. And not saying if the father was there, it wouldn't have happened, but I'm sure the father being there would have had a more of an impact, more of a positive impact.
It's often true for that. I was thinking as you're talking, Charles, and we're not going to be able to fix our culture today and eradicate, you know, the fatherless family. But there are ways that that single moms can incorporate good male images, good role models for their kids.
Yes.
You know, what comes to mind in terms of those opportunities?
A lot of it, when we propose the male figure, we'll say fathers and father figures. Mm-hmm. That could be brothers. That could be uncles. That could be cousins. That could be good friends that are men that are willing to step into the role. Mm-hmm. Coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you have good coaches that you have your children involved with, make that a priority. There are plenty of capable, godly men and some that may not be godly but are still good influences. Mm-hmm. That's what we need for our children.
Yes.
Wasn't that the aim and the goal of the Big Brother program?
Yes. Too? Yes. And we're kind of different than the Big Brother because with our organization, we want to have men that will be a little bit more involved in the education process. We actually call it dadjucation, where we ask men to donate an hour of their time a week to go and read with children or be there with schoolwork or be there on campuses just to see, for the children to see more male figures. You know, And that's being proactive.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because children react so much differently to their dads than they do to their moms. It could be the voice difference, or children can recognize the authority of moms and dads, and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So I can, even down to, and it's funny, even down to our dogs. I remember I have a little 7-pound Yorkie. Mm-hmm. That's dominating our house. You know?
They do.
Will do that.
But my son and my daughter-in-law were at the house, and they were letting, her name is Dila, let her out.
Uh-huh.
And she's just laying all out, and my daughter-in-law is just calling her and calling her. And I happen to come up, and I go, Dila! And she jumps up, and she looks around, and she comes running to the house. You know? It's like, wow, even the dog knows the difference.
You know, I had the same thing at my house. My wife would yell at my dog, and I'll say, Sissy, now. Boom.
Yeah.
Does exactly what it's supposed to do.
So, you know, I tease my wife with it. You know, I say, you just don't have enough bass in your voice.
Right.
No bass. That's good.
I want to swing back to the biblical foundations of parenting, because moms and dads both are biblically authorized.
Mm-hmm.
That particular, it's a ministry. And I also want to remind our listeners, and I say this often, you know, that the Bible is the foundation of understanding God's plan for all of creation. We're now talking about a part of that, the family. And so that God never changes his plans. God is a great word I learned in seminary, immutable. Meaning he doesn't change. It doesn't mutate. God is never changes. We do, hopefully for the better. But because God doesn't change and he's perfect, when he stipulates a plan in the very beginning, we read the scriptures in Genesis and we go out through the Bible, that he doesn't change. So today, even though we've lived however much history we've lived, as Ed alluded earlier, Ed lived probably a lot of history, more than the rest of us.
Oh, boy.
But, but the point is that we see ourselves as needing to change. We have changed. I've certainly changed in the 76 years I've been on the planet. But God does not. And we have to sit back when we think about these important things. And family is very, very important. God thinks it's important. He talks about it a lot in Scripture. and the structure of family, father, mother, children, all, and God in the center of that family. That's how God wants it to work. So go to the scriptures. I was looking here in Deuteronomy. God gives commandments. He says, this is Deuteronomy 6:6-7. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children, meaning talking to the parents now. Mm-hmm. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Fathers are to teach God's ways diligently in everyday life. That's a very God. Fathers have a role in the family. God says so. Proverbs 22:6. A lot of us are familiar with this. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, who does that? The parents do that.
Yes.
And so forth. And there's a lot of scripture. I just picked two. But there's a lot of scriptural references to God's intention for the role and ministry of the father and mother and children in the family.
Unfortunately, that works both ways. I also was in corrections in Missouri. And I would take 10 inmates out every day on a work release program. And usually it wasn't the same inmates every day. So I got to talk to a lot of guys. And I found most of them, their fathers were in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or had been in jail.
Yes.
Or were That's heading true. To jail. And these kids were being raised up in the way they should go.
Right,
my
yes.
father did it. Here I am.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another side to that.
Yeah.
That can be very destructive to a family
right.
when the father is a poor example.
Yes. Yeah. And it's frustrating to me as a man who has tried to do it the right way,
mm-hmm.
to be a godly man, to be in my home, to be present, and to know that you have these beautiful children and you're not being your best to be a good example for your children. Because we're the first example that Amen. These children
Amen.
See. Yeah. And I remember Pastor Seamus one time in one of his sermons talking about young ladies.
Mm.
He said that the father is the first man that a young lady will see and connect with love without sex being involved.
Mm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
So that when the father there is there, present and loving,
mm-hmm.
that's where she gets the context of love instead of some man coming in just arbitrarily mm-hmm. saying, I love you,
mm-hmm.
to try to take it in a different direction.
Yeah.
And she also watches how the father treats the mother.
Yes.
That's the important. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That yeah. is that's so
the
true.
Example right there.
I remember my grandfather, he's gone on to heaven now. Actually, he was one of the charter members of our church, Port Salerno Church of God, back in 1931. And he and my grandmother, well, he used to flirt with my grandmother all the time. And I'm watching this, and of course she's saying, Deacon Isaac Mackey, Isaac, stop, I'm trying to do this. And he's like, that's my woman there.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this, and my female cousins are looking at this, mm-hmm. That's the example that Absolutely. We wanted in our marriage. That's how mm-hmm. we want it to be with our spouses. So,
yeah, that's great. Let's at this point, we're at a break time. Let's take a couple of minute break. And by the way, you may want to call. If you do, please, I'm going to have to play phone answerer guy too. So, but the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. Give us a call, and if you want to ask a question or make a comment about fathers, we'll be right back.
what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio. News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And we're back, as I promised. Try to keep my promises. So we have the rest of the hour to really talk about dads and their importance in the family, God's plan for fathers. And really get back to where we were before the break, Charles. Mm-hmm. We'd moved off kind of on from talking about the ways in which single moms could involve male figures for their children, and it's important for certainly the boys in the family to have a male figure, but equally important for girls to have that father type figure if they don't have a dad in the home.
Yes, and you know, you can say that just about every family has uncles mm-hmm. somewhere, or you have coaches around,
right?
And unfortunately, there has been instances where coaches have been a negative influence, but that's the exception. So it's important to get our children involved with any men that are being positive influences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the ones you hear so much about the negative in some men. That's not what we want to concentrate on. We want to concentrate on the positive aspect of the men that are doing positive things and promote them, because even with the news, negativity carries the news.
That's right. We're all supposed to be victims, you know.
Yes.
That's what sells.
Yes.
Yeah, it really does. Sadly.
And, you know, and I tell people that, I watch the news, and it's discouraging a lot, but you have to be informed.
Yeah, I agree.
And you have to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of instances, it will steer you what to pray for.
Amen. That's why I watch.
Yes.
There you go. So
that is absolutely,
you know,
true.
And I talk about myself. I'm a PK. You know, they have pastor's kids and policeman's kids.
Yeah.
I was a policeman's kid.
They're still called PKs. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. There you go.
And my dad was there, strong figure. He was 30 years with Martin County Sheriff's Office. And,
All right.
And it was funny, and I didn't grasp onto it until I was an adult. But there were times when I was 6, 7 years old, he would come and get me to ride in the patrol car with him.
Aww.
And, you know, that was fascinating to me.
Good. Sure, yeah.
But he didn't put me up front.
Ah.
And he would say, no, I don't want you messing with the equipment up here. Knowing that I wouldn't, he would put me in the back, in the cage.
Yeah.
And he was active in the community, so he'd go around to different places. And as he stopped, a crowd comes around the car, and they're looking in, and I'm sitting in the back, and I'm like, ooh, I don't like this. But it was planting that seed that this is not what
That's
you want
interesting.
To do.
Yeah.
You know what? I love that your dad did that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, you never want to sit back there. Like,
he never
as
admitted
an adult.
To it.
Uh-huh.
Even when I challenged him as an adult, he never admitted.
Of course.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sure, okay.
All right, Dad, but I got it, you know. But
yeah.
just those little subtle things,
yes,
can be just so powerful. And it was with me because, you know, I got into law enforcement, but no, I never was back in the back of that.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very effective way of teaching.
Yes.
It's putting you in a circumstance where you have to think about what that means.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was kind of a prankster, too. You know?
Nothing wrong with that. I speak from experience. But so where do we go from here? I mean, we've offered some hopeful commentary as well for our listeners. And I just know, as we broadcast this program into all of South Florida and wherever the internet goes, all over the world, that there are some people listening today who are right now currently in a difficult family situation. Mm-hmm. They may be a single mom. And by the way, again, I have to say we are not coming down on single moms.
Yes, we love our single moms.
We do love our single moms. We recognize the challenge you face every day. And so we want to support you and uphold you. But we're also speaking about a fact. It's a factual reality that some families don't have dads. And part of what we tried to do before the break was encourage single moms to be thinking about where they can find a good role model. And there are opportunities. Mm-hmm. Big Brothers, Big Sisters is still out there. And I think they do a pretty good job. They're a secular group. But I know many Christians who volunteer in that. But also then we have ministries like Father's Child Connection, which we were talking about, mm-hmm. and of which you are a part. Let's talk a little bit more about this particular ministry, the Father-Child Connection, and what it offers today, right now, and maybe a way for single moms to get in touch.
Right now, the organization is based in Palm Beach County, but we're actively working on trying to get a chapter here mm-hmm. in Martin County. And it's just, we want to be visible as far as for dads and dads-to-be mm-hmm. And mothers-to-be. Because I can remember listening to a radio show, and this was talking about young ladies who mm-hmm. are not mothers yet. And the guy said, just because you thought this man was, it may sound a little graphic, just because you thought this man was good enough to lie down with mm-hmm. doesn't mean that he will be a good father.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. That's true.
So you have to be diligent mm-hmm. in knowing who you're getting involved with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of men, and I've seen it, we've seen it in corrections.
Absolutely.
That mm-hmm. were taught by their fathers to be conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how God made us to be conquerors. He made us to be nurturers.
Nurturers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because when he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, he didn't put him there as a conqueror. Mm-hmm. He put him there as a nurturer to tend, mm-hmm. to cultivate. Amen. So that's what God ordained us to be. Yep. So, and that's where we're encouraging, again, our dads to step into their God-ordained role. And we're encouraging our mothers, single mothers, mothers-to-be, to allow the men. Not necessarily if they're a bad role model, because you don't want to have a bad role model, because that's worse than having no role model.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely.
So that's where you actively have to look for positive men around you mm-hmm. and seek them out. Ask mm-hmm. them, would they be willing mm-hmm. to be a role model for my child?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the encouraging part of it.
And a lot of times, people that are churchgoers, you have in the body of Christ there, men who may have risen up. Maybe God's shown you this.
Yes.
You know, and then, of course, the other thing is proposing, you know, sharing the need, proposing the opportunity, and seeing if they're willing.
Yes.
But, you know, I was thinking as we're talking, Charles, and because of your history in corrections, and Ed, of course, spent some time in corrections as well, that I know we have a lot of listeners today who are incarcerated. There are men. Mm-hmm. and perhaps even during this broadcast, if you're listening, you, Lord's been working on your heart about your relationship with your family, with your kids especially. Mm. And I, could you just for a moment, knowing that there are men out there right now, maybe not incarcerated, but in the same basic estrangement relationship with their kids, what could you provide them as guidance to how they can turn that around right now, today?
Well, what we'll do is, and again, it goes back to encouragement, and it's you can say ironic, but I don't think it's ironic because Pastor Miller preached on that yesterday.
Mm.
He actually had his message, and God steered him towards this, and he stopped and he thought for, I would say he was listening for about 15 to 20 seconds, and then he said to parents that may be estranged from children, that may be having rocky times with children,
mm-hmm.
he said, call your children.
Mm. Yes.
He said, even if you don't believe that you were wrong, there's something going on that has your child upset or angry or standoffish, call them.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. the bridge, and I think you said it, David, the bridge is built from both sides.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's right. not built from one side to go all the way over to the
right.
other side.
Right.
Most bridges are built from both sides, and they come together in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really passionate about it, and that really touched me because mm-hmm. it's like,
that's true.
Wow.
Yeah.
We as parents sometimes think that we know it all.
Mm. Yes.
And the children may be upset, and we realize we didn't do anything, and we don't take the step forward to try to mend it. So that's what we encourage these men that may be incarcerated or may be having issues with their family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside your pride.
Yes.
Yeah.
And step forward, because that could be the initiation, the beginning of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the child may be upset, and we don't know why, but we have to find out why.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't know why, how can we resolve it?
Amen.
So we as men need to set aside our pride,
mm-hmm.
because pride can lead to so many downfalls in so many areas. And it doesn't make you less of a man to set your pride aside and step forward to resolve situations.
Amen.
Pride goeth before the fall.
Yes.
It certainly does.
Yes.
I've experienced that enough, Ed, to know that that's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I, and my, we have an adult daughter, my wife and I, and you know, I, over the years, I realized that there were times I wasn't exactly the father. I wasn't operating out of that wonderful fatherhood. Other things were going on. I'm a pastor, too, so she's a PK.
Okay.
A different kind of P. But I have, as she became an adult, and when she was now out of the home, she's been out of the home for 20 years with her husband in California, of all places. I have had conversations with her where I've had to, as God opened up to me, that where I failed her, didn't think of it at the time. I was so, my pride was so heady. My authority was so paramount in whatever that situation was.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the wonderful value of what I was trying to impart to her that I was so enamored with, and she was not. But the Lord began to show me places where I needed to say to her, I'm so sorry for the times that, you know, I said or did something that caused mm-hmm. us to be, go apart instead of come together.
Yes.
That's hard, man.
Those are two very hard words to say.
I'm sorry.
Especially for men who have been leading for so long.
Yes. And that's forgiveness, seeking forgiveness. Some men think is a weakness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we can't be seen as weak, right?
Yes.
Because we are the commander of our family.
Because we're a product of our environment.
Exactly.
And amen.
That may be the way that our fathers did it.
Yeah.
But our children are a little bit smarter, a little bit more advanced, and we have to adapt to them.
Mm.
and still respect them so they can have respect for us. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's exactly what it comes down to.
Yep.
The word that keeps coming back to me is love. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that you want your child to walk in the Lord, but if you keep just pounding over their head, read their Bible, pounding over their head, go to church, and there's like no love behind that, or even not even calling them. I see a lot of, unfortunately, people who are in ministry and they're not, their children are not walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's just show love and not try to pound them into being a follower of the Lord. And when you show the love, that will have them, that will make them be more curious to follow the Lord.
Yes.
'Cause it all comes with love, from love.
I like to say that, you know, the gospel is built on love.
Amen. Absolutely.
And you may have to change the method, but you never change the message.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you have to adapt.
That's good.
To win these young people, because again, there are so much more advanced. They're dealing with influences that we never had to deal with.
I know.
And there's so many influences out there that are vying for their attention.
Yeah.
But everybody wants love.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be loved and feel loved.
Yes.
So when we concentrate on that, that's a big part of winning them over to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Absolutely.
And that just points to the fact, you know, God made all this. If you want to know how to work it, you have to go back to God. If mm-hmm. you're a father or a mother or whatever role, family role you have, God created the family. He has a perfect plan for it. Mm-hmm. Are you asking God how to do your job?
Yes. Yes. And the Bible says if you seek wisdom,
ask.
God will give you the answer.
God will give you. Yeah. And you have to be willing to follow the way God gives you the wisdom, because sometimes we try to tell God how we want the wisdom.
Exactly.
Instead of submitting ourselves to Him and saying, Lord, show me what I need to do. And you have to be willing to do what He shows you to do, because He knows.
He does.
You know.
Back,
he does.
Back to pride again.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, I mean, I've had my conversations with God where He said, I want you to do this. I said, well, I can't do that. You know. And then I'd later on be convicted of, you know, about, again, pride, or not being willing to submit to the living God and to His perfect will. You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But part of that is we're human. Part of our humanity is, you know, as some of us have never grown up, you know, when we were little babies, we were the center of our parents' universe. We couldn't do anything for ourselves. So we were sitting on that throne.
Mm-hmm.
And our parents were serving us. But at some point, you have to take responsibility for your own life. And some people don't ever shed that.
Yes.
You know?
And it's interesting you said that, because when I was in corrections and I would talk to a lot of the young men, and sometimes, and most of the time, I didn't want to know what their charges was, because I didn't want to be prejudiced to anything.
Right.
But every now and then, I would ask someone what they did. And almost to a man, they would say, well, they said I did this, this, and this. All right, wait a minute. What do you mean they said? Did you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I did. Well, own it.
Yes.
Be responsible and say, well, I did this. Don't. And a lot of times they didn't want to talk to me after that.
There you go.
Sure, yeah.
Because I want to initiate you taking responsibility for your mistake. That's the first step to you rectifying and doing better.
Admitting.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you keep blaming other people, you'll never get correction for your attitudes.
Yes.
But that's the role model they had.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember talking with a young man that I heard a crash, and I went in to look, and there was a glass on the floor that was broken. Mm. I go, well, what happened? Well, it fell over.
Just fell over by itself.
You mean you knocked it over? Well, no, it fell over. Son, if that glass sat on that table for the next 100 years, it'll still be on that table for the next 100 years. Take responsibility. I'm sorry. I knocked it over. Okay, let's clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it fell over, because that's physically impossible, you know.
I would have blamed gravity.
That's interesting because I lived overseas in a third world country, and one of the expressions they used was, the car gave me an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's funny.
Yeah, they didn't have an accident. They didn't run into somebody. The car gave me an accident. Okay.
Wow. It's when did this world get to the point where we just lack responsibility?
Yeah, shift blame. Yeah. Yep.
When you're accountable to your actions, that again, it touches you to where you want to do better.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because when you're accountable and when you're responsible, people will gravitate towards you. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be an example, and you should want to be a good example. Yep. Mm-hmm. For people in your circle of influence. Yep. So, it's an ongoing process. I won't say a problem because all it takes is one person to start.
Yep. Yeah.
And then others will get involved. I remember being a part of a leadership program, and at the end of it, during the quote unquote graduation process of it, the professor said, I have 30 students here. Now what I've taught you is what I believe, and I believe is positive. Now suppose the 30 of you went out and got 30 students. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, one man's positivity is affecting 900.
Wow.
And suppose those 900 got 30 students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then that one man's positivity is now affecting 27,000.
Yeah.
And so on. Sounds
like a pyramid scheme to me.
Right. Multiplication. A positive.
It's kind of like spreading the gospel.
Yes. Yes.
Positivity evangelization.
Well, it takes one to get started.
Well, the biblical references, in the Genesis where God tells us to take dominion over the world.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, the dominion means you have authority to do that.
Yep.
And the dominion defines the way in which you express that authority. But so God has given us authority, and of course it's to do his will, to bring his word into the center of where we are and to disseminate that in however we can to be a blessing to as many people. And that multiplication that you're talking about is a way of God.
Yes.
It's a work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it
yes.
definitely produces very, very good fruit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just think if we had every father was a godly father. Mm. And that's our hope. And you impart these godly wisdom to your children. Mm-hmm. And then they start to impart the godly wisdom to their children. Mm-hmm. And so on and so on. That's how the gospel will spread.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no matter what we say, hate is sometimes so loud. Mm. Love is much quieter, but it's still more powerful than hate. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we don't have to match the volume of hate. We still have. We just have to show the love in a quiet, positive way. And eventually, it will override the hate.
Amen.
Amen. Totally into that.
Yes.
Time is going to be running out on us in a few minutes, or maybe 6 minutes left before this program we have to sign off. But in that time, Charles, I would love to ask you if you would offer a prayer for families just all over the world. Mm-hmm. You have that ability. God's given you the ability to pray.
Yes.
And he'll disseminate it, but pray for the family, the state of the family today, and maybe a restoration to God's will.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. First of all, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. And we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that we are who we are because of you. And we look to you, Lord, for everything that we are. And we know, Lord, that family was the first institution that you established. Mm-hmm. When you made Adam and then you gave him Eve, that was the first family. And, Lord, even though things happen that were against your will, you still love family. And family is so important because that's the foundation of every civilization. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to touch the families, the leaders of the families, especially our dads, our men, because you have commanded and ordained the men to be the head of the families, spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every aspect. And may they come together, Lord, to be the men that you ordained them to be. And Lord, may we ask that you touch the ladies in the families, the mothers, those that haven't become mothers yet, to submit themselves, and I'm not saying in a negative way, submit themselves to you and also to the men in their family. Because when the submission is there, when you have the mother and the father, and they're both holding on to you, God, a three-twine rope is much stronger than two.
Amen.
So when the mother and father are holding on to each other and each are holding on to you,
yes,
that is a strong base, Lord.
Yes.
So continue. We ask that you continue to touch the minds and the hearts of parents to do what is necessary for the family. Sometimes it seems like parents get a little bit selfish with what they need, but you have to be able to think about the good of the family. So, Lord, continue to touch our hearts, touch their hearts. Families around the world, Lord, they are being attacked because the enemy knows if he breaks down the family, he is breaking down your kingdom. But we decree and declare that that is not going to happen. Amen. We decree and declare that we're going to pray that the enemy be pushed back to the pits of hell where he came from.
Amen.
We will not allow him to destroy what you
Amen.
Ordained.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you are and all that we are in you. We submit ourselves to you and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 Thank you, brother, amen. For that. And, you know, I'm going to say that even though I'd started out by saying this was plan B, but this was God's plan
A. Plan A.
And we'll certainly enjoy having Bishop Miller with us down the road, and you'll hopefully be able to join him then too. But how necessary, how important was this message today? And I know there were several individuals, men and women, today that heard this in a way God wanted them to hear it, and their lives are being changed. And for those of you I'm talking about, this is Holy Spirit time. Let him
Amen.
Submit to him. And all those things you desired, that are God put on your heart, you'll get them.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all be blessed, be safe, and we will be back with you next week.
Amen.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.